بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أربع من أوتيهن فقد أوتي خير الدنيا والآخرة: قلب شاكر، وبدن صابر، ولسان ذاكر، وزوجة لا تبغيه حوبا في نفسها وماله. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let us all recite Durood Sharif. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, I have presented a very short, concise, but a very comprehensive statement and advice of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly inspired his beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahmad Mujtaba, Muhammad Mustafa, Sarkar Du'alam, Fakhrul Alameen, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has been inspired by way of revelation and wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the words that he uttered. Wahi is of two categories. The one category of wahi is known as wahi matlu, and one category of wahi is known as wahi ghair matlu. Wahi matlu means that wahi that is recited, that refers to the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is wahi that is recited from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen till min al-jinnati wal-nas. That is the aspect of wahi that is recited. We read that. We make tilawat of it. But the other aspect of wahi, wahi does not only end with the Quran from beginning to end. There is another chapter of wahi that is called wahi ghair matlu, the wahi that is not recited, and that is the wahi that came upon beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of his words and utterances. Every word and utterance that emanated from him was nothing but wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was not anything that he said from his own side. He did not make any statement that was not inspired directly as a form of revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to this reality in the Holy Quran, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Quran has made an open declaration that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak anything from his own self, from his own womb. In huwa illa wahyu yuha. Whatever he utters, whatever he says is nothing but wahi and revelation directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the other type of wahi, the wahi that is not recited, that is the ahadith and the words and statements of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, then there are categorizations of that wahi, of the ahadith. And there are certain ahadith that are so firm and strong in terms of their chain of narrators that it is called hadith mutawatir. This hadith is so strong that it is on par in terms of authenticity with the words of the Holy Quran, And therefore, just as any person denies an ayat of the Holy Quran, even one ayat comes out of the fold of Islam, and he becomes an apostate, he becomes murtad, and he's out of the fold of Islam for denying one ayat of the Holy Quran. Any person who denies that category of hadith that is called mutawatir, he will also leave the fold of Islam. Because that is the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never spoke of his own accord in the state of anger or in the state of grief or in the state of happiness or in the state of agitation. Whatever he spoke was directly wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day there was a certain sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was his practice that he would write down every word that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uttered and spoke. Every word that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, this sahabi would write it down. He had his notebook, and as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, he would write down word for word. One day, some of the Sahaba confronted him privately and they told him, see here, you are writing all the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam down, and the people in the next generation and the future generations, they will receive these words. But remember, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is insan, he's human being, and there are certain times he will say things in emotion, in anger, he will say certain things in jest, in humor. And you are going to write all these things down, maybe you should not write everything down. So the Sahabi, he listened to the words of his companions, and he stopped writing. Stopped writing altogether. After a few days, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the Sahabi stopped, he had stopped writing. He asked him, "Oh Abdullah, I see you used to write, and now I see you stopped writing altogether. What has happened that I see you don't write anymore? Is there any reason for you to stop writing?" So he said, he related the whole incident, and he said, "O Nabi of Allah, I used to write down everything, but my companions told me that I should be careful of writing everything down, because you are a human being, and in certain instances you might say certain things in anger or in jest. And if I write it down and the next generation and future generations receive all of this, then they may think that this is all part and parcel of your teachings." So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him and told him that, "O Abdullah, know and understand that I do not utter or state anything of my own accord. Every word and statement that I utter is revelation and wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me. So therefore, continue to write. Do not stop writing." So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from that day onwards, he continued writing. And amazingly, a whole booklet of his, of the compilation of hadith, was discovered a few decades ago. Dr. Hamidullah, one great scholar of Islam, who was based in France, he managed to find a certain manuscript that was called Sahifa Wahab ibn Munabbih. And in that was recorded all these ahadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when he went through this manuscript, he compared it with the books of hadith, the well-known compilations of hadith, to see that do these narrations come in there, and word for word these narrations were found in the main books of hadith, the common books of hadith. It was all correlated and corroborated with what was found in the Sahifa of Wahab ibn Munabbih, which was actually handed down the words, the writings of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. From this, one can see that how meticulously the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam were preserved, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged for this format of wahi to be also safeguarded and protected till the day of Qiyamah. Just as the words of the Quran will be protected and safeguarded till the day of Qiyamah, that no person can come and change even one letter or one word of the Holy Quran till the day of Qiyamah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken directly the responsibility to guarantee the authenticity of every word of the Holy Quran. So there will be no interpolation or interpolation or extrapolation in the words of the Holy Quran till the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Holy Quran, that inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. We are the ones who revealed this scripture, this zikr, this reminder. The words Quran has got different names, many names. In the Quran itself mentions its various names. It is called Al-Kitab, and it is called the Sirat al-Mustaqim, and it is called Al-Furqan, and it is called Al-Quran al-Azim, and it is called by various other names. One of the names of the Holy Quran is Az-Zikr, because it is a reminder for the people. So the Quran is also called Az-Zikr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, inna nahnu nazzalna Az-Zikr. We have revealed Az-Zikr, the Holy Quran. Wa inna lahu lahafizun. And we will be the guardians that will safeguard and protect this Quran till the end of time, so that nobody can ever come and change even one letter of the Holy Quran till the end of time. And subhanallah, what an arrangement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for the protection of the Holy Quran, that no material or man-made agency was used for the protection of the Holy Quran. In other words, the Quran was not only safeguarded and protected in the form of books or writing or manuscripts, or nowadays we get the various modern forms of converting and storing of data in electronic format, whether it is in hard drives, in the cloud computing, flash drives, or other mediums of DVDs or CDs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not use any of those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the human being and the memories of the human beings to become the medium for the storage of the Holy Quran. And those were the Huffaz. And the Huffaz memorized this Quran, where so many thousands and millions of Huffaz memorized the Quran, that it is not possible to destroy, because any other form of storage could be destroyed. Books can get burned, and manuscripts can be eaten up by insects, and data can be erased by electromagnetic fields. These things can be deleted and erased. So none of those mediums were permanent. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the human memory. The human memory, even if one or two or five or ten individuals' memory slips or it fails, but the Quran is not reliant on just a handful of people. There are millions of them. And that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguarded and protected the Quran till the end of time. And that system will remain till the end of time. Huffaz will come and go. Centuries will have passed, and Huffaz have come and gone. And the system of protection of the Quran is in place. Many evil and sinister attempts were made in the past to destroy the words of the Holy Quran and to distort the words of the Quran. People printed a distorted version of the Quran. They added words in there. They subtracted words in there. But within minutes, their fraud was caught out. The moment any hafiz opened and said, he said, no, not accepted. This cannot be accepted. This is not the Quran. Why? Because these are not words of the Quran. They don't fit in the Quran. These are certain words that are missing. Therefore, this is not an authentic copy of the Quran. So no matter how many efforts they made, and they are documented in information and evidence of their different efforts that were made to try to distort the Quran, but every one of those efforts failed miserably. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken upon himself the duty and responsibility to preserve the Quran till the end of time. In British India, at one time, the British did a deep study of the communities of India, and they said that the one community that is always agitating and very, very resistant to our rule, they're always fighting and struggling for independence and liberation, and they're always rising up from time to time, is the Muslim community. So they decided to study deeply that what is it that motivated this Muslim community to become so resistant to the British rule. And their studies led them to the Holy Quran. After all their research and studies, they came to the conclusion that it is the Holy Quran that infuses them in that spirit of resistance and that spirit of struggle for liberation. So they said, look, then there is one solution, and that is, let us get rid of the Holy Quran. So they began a campaign. This is not a story, this is reality. It's documented in the books of history. They undertook a campaign to go from masjid to masjid and madrasa to madrasa to collect as many copies of the Holy Quran as they could lay their hands on. And they would burn and destroy these copies, thinking that once we've burnt and destroyed every single printed copy of the Quran won't remain. When the Quran won't remain, the spirit of resistance will go, and there won't be that struggle for liberation left anymore, and we will be able to rule in peace. But as they set about and they embarked, and they may have burnt a few hundred or thousand copies, they came to one institution amongst the many thousands of such institutions that exist. And when they came, the principal of the institution received them and he asked them, what is your purpose of coming? They said, we have come here with our soldiers. We came to confiscate every copy of the Quran from your institution so that you people will not have any copy of the Quran. So the principal said, go ahead, take everything away. They were astounded that here is a man that actually given us the green light. He said, you can take as many copies of the Quran, we don't care. He said, what kind of person is this? He's not even showing any kind of resistance to our intention of taking away the holy book. Then he told them, he said, listen, why we don't care? We don't care because you can take all the copies away. The Quran is preserved and stored in the memory bank of thousands of children. You burn the copies of the Quran today, tomorrow morning we'll rewrite the whole Quran from memory. How many copies are you going to burn? And he made call a few young children, young huffaz, and he told them, start reading. And they commenced from Alif Lam, and someone started from the other para, and this Jews and that Jews, and they were shocked. He said, these are handful of children you are seeing. There are literally hundreds of thousands of children like this throughout the length and breadth of India. What are you going to do? And how you think you're going to remove the Quran from all of these people? They reported this to their seniors, and the seniors threw their hands up and they said, we give up. It's impossible to take away the Quran from this nation. Because it is not our doing. The protection of the Quran is not from our side. It is from Allah Rabbul Alameen, the one who is the one who revealed the Quran himself. It is his word, it is his kalam, it is his speech, and he is directly responsible for safeguarding, preserving and protecting his own word. We see an example in our own country. Qazi Abdullah bin Abdul Salam, who was popularly known as Tuan Guru. Tuan Guru Rahmatullah Alayhi was one of those great ulama who fought against the Dutch because of the Dutch colonialism, fought against the Dutch in Indonesia, and they resisted the rule of the Dutch. And the Dutch identified these scholars, they said, these are the troublemakers. Arrest them, capture them, and exile them. And these were those scholars who were then exiled to the Cape of Good Hope, which had just become a Dutch colony. And they were exiled, and some of them were even exiled to Robben Island. We know the history of Robben Island, the recent history of Robben Island, Madiba, Mandela, and all his companions, Ahmed Kathrada, and others who were imprisoned on Robben Island for so many decades. And what a dark chapter it was in the history of this country. That part of history we may know. But it is important for us to know the Islamic history of Robben Island. What about those great ulama and scholars? Some of them breathed their last on Robben Island, and their graves are found to be found on Robben Island, which are known in the Cape province as Karamats. The graves of these great elders, some of them passed away on Robben Island. The karamats of these great personalities are found there, these great ulama. Tuan Guru Rahmatullah Alayhi, Sheikh Abdullah bin Abdul Salam, was a great alim. They were brought here in chains. They were brought here as slaves. But subhanallah, when they were brought here, the first concern they had was, we were brought with nothing. They were brought with nothing, no literature. They were not allowed to take anything with them, not even a copy of the Holy Quran. So what do they do? How are they going to learn? How are they going to recite the Quran? And how are the Muslims around them going to recite the Quran? And how will the Quran be preserved in writing for the generations to come? So Allahu Akbar, from his memory, Tuan Guru Rahmatullah Ali wrote the entire Quran from cover to cover on this very land of South Africa. These were those great ulama, my dear friends. We should be proud of the legacy of these great ulama in our country. When they had nobody to stand with them, and they were all alone fighting against a hostile enemy. Tuan Guru Rahmatullah Ali, from that brilliant mind and memory Allah gave him, he reproduced the entire Quran in writing from cover to cover, from Alhamdu till Minal Jinnati Wan Nas. The first written copy of the Holy Quran in South Africa by this great personality. And in fact, he's the one not only to write the first copy of the Quran, and not one copy, but he wrote three copies. And the pages, this entire Quran is found, he is the one who also founded the very first masjid in South Africa, which is called Awwal Masjid. The first masjid is Boka. Up till today that masjid is there, exists. And the copy of the Quran that he wrote is found in the museum, or is found in a display in Awwal Masjid. Subhanallah, these great ulama. Allah preserved the Quran through them, that now the community of South Africa also had its first copy of the Quran. And thereafter many copies were then reproduced from the copy of Tuan Guru Rahmatullah Alayhi. And so it carries on, inshallah, and shall carry on till the end of time, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed the protection of wahi matlu, that wahi which is recited in the form of the Holy Quran. But not only that, the other portion of the wahi which is known as wahi ghair matlu, in the form of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that also shall be preserved till the end of time. And a very elaborate system of the preservation of those words and utterances and statements and actions and deeds of Allah's beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been meticulously preserved and recorded by the scholars of hadith, the muhaddithun, till the end of time. They have preserved this knowledge. They have eliminated all the falsehoods. They have eliminated all aspects that were spurious, things that were falsely attributed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They cleared it all out and they left behind the absolute pure substance for the ummah till the day of judgment in the form of the compilation of the books of hadith, such as Al-Jami'u Sahih, which is popularly known as Bukhari, Sahih Al-Bukhari, and the Sahih Al-Muslim, and Jami'u Tirmidhi, and Sunan Abi Dawood, and Sunan Al-Nasai, and Sunan Ibn Majah, and for that matter, many dozens of other books of hadith. All the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exactly as he spoke it and he uttered it, these have been preserved till the end of time, so that the both streams of wahi, wahi matlu and wahi ghair matlu, will be preserved for the ummah till the end of time. No ummah in the world of the past had such an elaborate system of preservation of the words of Allah and the words of Allah's Prophet, Allah's Messenger, like this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala employed an army of His chosen and selected servants. They were chosen and selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. That is why they say the people of the Quran and the people of the Sunnah, they are Ahlul Quran, Ahlullah wa Khassatu. They are the family and the VIPs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has chosen and selected them. And they will do this work of Allah till the end of time. So my dear friends, we are that ummah that we have not been left behind in ignorance. Every aspect has been absolutely clarified and clear cut. And whether we were in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or 1 century after, or 5 centuries after, or 10 centuries after, or 14 centuries after, or 20 centuries, or 100 centuries after, inshallah, what was the very teachings of Quran and Sunnah that existed in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those very same teachings exist in today's time, and they will continue to exist till the end of time. Nobody can eradicate or eliminate this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has taken the responsibility to guarantee it. On that we make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our country with a lot of goodness and blessings, our communities with a lot of barakah and khair. We know that we are at a very crucial moment in going forward in the future of our country, a very, very, very important and very strategic, conference is coming up in the, tomorrow, and that will determine to an extent the future direction of this country and where we will be going and what kind of conditions will prevail here. And so it is an occasion for all of us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, guide the hearts and minds of the decision makers to that which will be in the best interest of this country, and that goodness must prevail and prosperity must prevail and success must prevail, and all forms of corruption and all forms of retardation of progress and success must be removed. So we should make a very special dua for that. We do not know what Allah knows. Allah knows and we do not know. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. We may guess this will be good, that will be good. We will make our analysis, political judgments and so on the basis of what political analysts are saying. But Allah in His knowledge knows what is best. So therefore we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let that prevail which is best. We do not know what the future holds, but we have a very powerful instrument with us, and that is the instrument and the tool of dua. We should use that instrument, and through the power of dua, we should beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a good and happy and prosperous future in our country. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi.